Exodus chapter 20. And we are going to continue on here with the Ten Commandments. And we're looking at the eighth commandment tonight, commandment number 8. And we will begin here by reading these commandments, Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. These are foundational for us as Christians, but also for all people to know what God expects of us. So, what is the moral foundation that God has laid? And that's what the Ten Commandments are. And so I think it's good for us just to remind ourselves of these principles here. We're just going to focus on one tonight, but let's begin by reading. We'll read in unison Exodus 20, 1 through 17. So why don't we stand again, and we will read there beginning in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. We're considering here tonight Exodus 20, verse 15, which says, Thou shalt not steal. There was a lady who was asleep in her bed one night, and she was awakened by a strange noise out in the living room. And so she went out into the living room, and there she found a burglar who was in the living room. And, of course, she was very scared, as I'm sure that you would be if you found a burglar in your living room. And so she, she prayed, and the burglar started stepping towards her, and all she could think of to do was speak out her favorite verse, with just the reference. She said, Acts 2:38, and the burglar froze. And she was able to get her phone out and call 911. Police came and they arrested the burglar. And they asked him, what made you freeze? Why'd you just, you were stealing stuff here and all of a sudden you just froze. Why'd you do that? She said, he said it was that lady. She said she's got an axe and she's got two .38 caliber pistols. Anyway, thou shalt not steal. And maybe we see some basic responsibilities we can take to protect ourselves as well. I don't know. But we've been studying here the Ten Commandments and learning about God's expectations for His redeemed people. As we read, God gave these commandments to His people that He had redeemed. And He says there in Exodus 20, verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he gives them the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to God's people as a way for them to live, as a way for them to show their love and gratitude for everything that God had done. And so we have seen that God's people were to start with their basic responsibilities towards God. First four commandments all deal with our responsibility, especially towards God. And then the next commandments 5 through 10, all deal with the obligations that we have, especially towards other people, and also towards God, but as it's focused on our neighbor, other people. So the eighth commandment falls into that second category of the Ten Commandments, and it's pretty straightforward. You know, Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. I think everybody here probably knows what stealing is. Taking something that does not belong to you. But as with each of these commandments, we see that they represent many different truths, many different responsibilities are all summed up in these commandments. And we see how the Scripture unpacks these basic principles, and we're going to see that here tonight, Lord willing. But this commandment reminds us especially about our relationship to property. And the basic obligation we have here is that we are to respect property. And the Scriptures show us at least three different responsibilities, obligations that we have towards property. And so we're going to consider three of these responsibilities that this commandment sums up for us. And the first one is our responsibility to honor the owner of all property. This commandment reminds us that we need to honor the owner of all property. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. God created all property that has ever existed, ever will exist. God created it. God created it all. Psalm 50 says, God says in Psalm 50, verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Honor the owner of everything, of all property. The Bible shows us that everything was created by God. God owns everything. Nothing that we have is ours to ourselves. It's God's. It came from God. God owns it all. And then we see in the Scriptures that God not only creates it all, but God controls it all. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 28, we read that God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God has delegated responsibility to people, to the first two people that ever were on this earth. God created everything, and then he gave Adam and Eve the responsibility to watch over the things that he had created. He gave them dominion, as it says in Genesis 1:28. God gives responsibility to man. And then another truth we see in the Scripture is that God distributes that property according to his will. Some people have more property than other people have. And why is that? One reason may be they work very hard and they do things that are legitimate in order to get property. But another reason is God has distributed it as he determines. In 1 Chronicles 29, David is responsible for gathering the materials for the temple that his son Solomon would build. and they had a tremendous offering of materials that was made. And David is rejoicing over that in 2 Chronicles 29. And he says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee." Both riches and honor come of thee. God controls it all. God is the owner of all property. And we need to honor God as the owner of all property. Maybe you've had the experience in your family. You have a birthday in your family that's coming up, and you're thinking, okay, what am I going to buy my son or my daughter and give them for their birthday? And you think, okay, I've got it narrowed down. I'm going to give them this gift. And so you give them maybe a toy or a present of some sort, and what do they do? Well, they play with it for about 5 minutes, and then they put it aside. And guess what happens? Their brother or their sister comes up, and they pick it up, the toy, and they start playing with it. And then sure enough, what happens? The other brother or sister comes along and they see their sibling playing with their toy. And so they walk up and they grab it and they say, "Mine! That's mine. It belongs to me." You know, that's the attitude that a lot of people have, even us, that we have towards our property. You know, it's mine. We're going to talk about, personal property. But the point that we need to acknowledge right off the bat is, wait a minute, it's God's. Everything is God's. And yes, God gives it to people to take responsibility for it. But if we're going to obey this eighth commandment, we've got to come to the understanding where we honor God, the owner of all. The owner of all property, honor God. Now, the second responsibility, which is the most obvious one we see in this commandment, is the need to respect the property God has given to other people. We need to respect the property that God has given to other people. We need to honor God, the owner of all, but we need to respect the property that God gave to other people. And there's a lot in the scripture about this responsibility, respecting the property that God has given to other people. Now, you notice here in Exodus 20, verse 15, that it is not specified exactly what the property is that we are not to steal. All it says is, "Thou shalt not steal." And you say, steal what? What is it that we shouldn't steal? Not specified directly because there are a multitude of different items, different kinds of things that the scripture shows us belong to other people, that we should not steal, that we need to respect, that God gave it to them. And I'm going to give you a couple different things here that the scripture says. A lot of these are very obvious things, but biblical truths here. And one category of property and would be, I hesitate even to call it property, but that would be people. You know, there are several passages in the scripture that talk about stealing people. Exodus 21, verse 16 says, "He that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." The penalty for stealing a person and selling a person was death. In the Old Testament here, same thing is taught in another passage, Deuteronomy 24, 7. "If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put away evil from among you." I'm sure that most of you are aware that the business, the practice of selling people is not something that is just an ancient practice. You know, this is something that goes on in the world today. I read some statistics from an organization called the Polaris Project, which is a organization that's dedicated to raising awareness about human trafficking. You know, buying people, selling them for various reasons. And according to that organization, they gave a fact from the International Labor Organization that estimates there are 20 million victims of human trafficking in the world today. The industry, the amount of money that's made in that business, I guess you could call it, would amount to, it's estimated, $150 billion. People are making money off selling other people for various reasons. Last year, in 2015, it was estimated that 1 out of 5 endangered runaways, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, were likely child sex trafficking victims. And according to this organization, of those runaway children, runaway people, about 74% were in the care of social services or foster care when they ran away. So I say all that just to say this is something that goes on in the world today, that people are being stolen and they're being used, they're being sold to other people. And this is exactly what the scripture forbids. This is exactly one of the things that the people are to respect about other people. It begins with people themselves. But then we move on from there to other kinds of property, whether it be a physical property, we need to respect all kinds of different physical property. You know, it may be a person's car, a person's clothes, a person's crops. Deuteronomy 23:25 says, "When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn." You know, the responsibility there that you can't just go in and harvest your neighbor's crops and expect that you are going to make money that way. God says, no, you got to respect the property of other people. And maybe physical property in this day and age, we also got to talk about the non-physical property, the intellectual property, and the idea, the fact that, you know, there's such a thing as a copyright today. And we can't just go online and pull off whatever somebody puts up there and use it to our own advantage. There is a property that somebody else has the right to. So you're talking about people, talking about other people's physical or intellectual property. And then the big item that is in the scripture and that surely we all think of, first of all, when the commandment says, thou shalt not steal, has to do with money. You know, the scripture talks about other ways in which people might steal money, and one of those is by the misuse of business transactions. The scripture warns about transactions that are made in which the people that make them are purposefully inaccurate in the way they perform those transactions. The scripture says in Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. You know, the standards and measurements by which somebody performed a transaction, you know, it's possible to find out a way to cheat somebody else out of a gallon of gas that somebody sells, or not giving that full measure that they're saying that they're giving. You know, bad business transactions, being purposefully inaccurate. you know, you might be walking along in a store somewhere, you see a price tag, and you know, you say to yourself, "That's highway robbery to pay that much." And I think that it's true that a person can have can steal money from somebody else by charging way, way too much for an item. Something that's just priced way out of line. And The scripture says in Leviticus 25:14, if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. You know, it's true that you can pay too much for something. Somebody can get way too much money out of something that really is not worth that. Bad business transactions. We also should mention taxes. Jesus said in Luke 20:25, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And he said that in response to somebody asking the question, should we pay tribute to Caesar? Should we pay that? What was Jesus' reply? Yes, you should. You should. We can disrespect the property of other people in not paying something that somebody is due, not paying wages, the scripture says. Leviticus 19:13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired, shall not abide with thee all night until morning. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You know, one of the things that's very prevalent today is the practice of getting into debt. And, you know, there is, I think, a legitimate reason to go into debt for certain things. But, you know, there's also the idea of just, you know, taking out a credit card and running it up as much as you can, and then just setting it aside, getting another one, running it up, never intending to pay it, never intending to pay that back. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. You remember the story of Elisha when he came to the widow, you know, she just had a little bit of oil, and God used him to provide for that widow, and she was in debt, and she was borrowing different containers, and that oil was filled up for her. And we read in 2 Kings 4:7 what Elisha said to her. He said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So what was his advice to her? What was God's will for that woman? Well, God provided for her so that she could go out and pay her debt. And just to have a debt that you have and you have no intention to pay it off whatsoever, I think would fall under this category of not respecting the property, of not respecting something that God has given here to somebody else. And then we see also in the scripture the fact that it's possible to rob from God when it comes to this idea of money here. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And the Bible says that when we refuse to support work of the Lord, when we do not give cheerfully, as the New Testament encourages us to do, God speaks of it in terms of stealing from Him. Will a man rob God? And you know, not giving to the Lord is a way that we can also misuse the property, really, that belongs to somebody else. So there's many different ways in which this commandment would apply, and this is not exhaustive at all, but some things that the scripture says. Respect the property God has given to others. Starts with people. Scripture talks about physical and intellectual property. Belongs to somebody else. The scripture has a lot to say about money. Stealing money. And then one more area that we see the scripture talks about, and that comes from 2 Samuel chapter 15, which is the account of what happened in the life of David. But you remember, David went through a very difficult trial, and it had to do with his son, Absalom. And Absalom was a highly respected man in the kingdom, but the writer of Scripture gives the evaluation of what Absalom did in 2 Samuel 15:6. And it says, on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. And it says this, so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Thou shalt not steal. Does that just apply to money, nothing else? No. It could apply to anything that does not belong to you. And in this case, it was the hearts of the men of Israel, the people that had their allegiance to the king, rightly so, and Absalom came along and he stole that. He stole a reputation away from his father. It was not his to take. Respect the property that God has given to other people. Honor the owner of all property, God. And then the third responsibility I want you to see here tonight is this. Scripture tells us that we need to respect the property that God has given to us. Respect the property that God has given to you. Would you turn to a New Testament passage with me tonight, the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 begins with Paul encouraging people to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And we see at the beginning of Ephesians, Paul's explaining salvation and all that that entails. And then here's what that should look like in your life. Here's how you should be living that out, Ephesians chapter 4. Here's how you walk worthy of that. Would you look down, please, at verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 4? It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Respect the property God gave to you. What does that mean for us? Well, the scripture says here that means, first of all, stop stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. There was a man who was speaking to a large American Protestant denomination. George Gallup was his name. He's a man who takes a lot of polls. And he said this to that denomination: "We find that there is very little difference in ethical behavior between churchgoers and those who are not active religiously. The levels of lying, cheating, and stealing are remarkably similar in both groups." That's very interesting. I don't know exactly how he got to that information, but unfortunately, many times that is true. You know, whether it be somebody who's a believer or an unbeliever, both people really can be capable of stealing. But what should be the practice of their life? Well, according to this passage, they should stop stealing. And that means, you know, when someone does that, of course, they need to recognize what God's punishment is for the sin of stealing, as it is for many other kinds of sins. But in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Thieves. You know, the sin of stealing is a sin that is punishable by death, yes. The wages of sin is death. But it's also something that will keep somebody out of heaven. It's something that, just like all other kinds of sin, will keep somebody out of heaven and will send them to hell. And so somebody who's going to stop stealing, they need to see what God's punishment is. They also need to see that there's provision for forgiveness. And that's through Jesus Christ. You know, as Paul says in that same passage, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but now you are washed, now you are sanctified." And so somebody needs to recognize that God forgives there. And then, you remember the passage in Luke chapter 19 where there was a wee little man that came to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus, he was a short man. He had to climb up in the sycamore tree. and he wanted the Lord to come to his house. But in Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." You know, Zacchaeus was a man who had stolen from people, taken money that didn't belong to him, taken more money that he should have. And when he came to the Lord, he recognized what he needed to do was he needed to give that back. And he needed to give back fourfold. The punishment, the Old Testament punishment for stealing involved restitution, giving back of what had been stolen. And the scripture speaks of that. Stop stealing. And then what else does Ephesians 4:28 say? "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So not only stop stealing, but the Bible tells a person to work. The person needs to work. That's the legitimate way to increase the amount of money that you have, the amount of property that you have. It is by working. Working with your hands, doing something good. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." So if you really need to get out of debt, if you really need to get some more money to pay off something, what's the way to do it? The way to do it is by working. Say, it'd be a lot easier just to go down to the grocery store and get a lottery ticket, wouldn't it? You know, maybe, just maybe, you could win big. That's not God's way. I would say that falls under this commandment. Thou shalt not steal. The proper way is by working with your hands the thing which is good. Now, God may give that amount some other way, and that would also be another legitimate way to increase your wealth. Somebody say they might give something to you. You might inherit something. I don't know, but those are legitimate ways. Stop stealing, work. And then what else here in verse 28? "That he may have to give to him that needeth." How do we respect the property that God gave to us? We need to give to others. Give to others. Give to others that have need. That should be one thought that's in our mind and on our hearts, how we should steward the things that we have. We should be looking for ways that we can give to other people that need. Give to other people that are truly in need here. And then one other way that we can respect the property that God gave to us, God has given to you. It's not stated here in this passage. But in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In 1990, there was a man who, in Ottawa, Canada, went to jail because he had robbed a bank. But his gun that he used to rob that bank went to a museum. Danny Simpson robbed a bank using a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic, which turned out to be an antique made by the Ross Rifle Company in Quebec City in 1918. The pistol was worth up to $100,000, which was much more than Danny Simpson had stolen from the bank. If he had just known what he carried in his hand, he wouldn't have had to rob the bank. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. What do we have? We have God. We have God, the owner of all property. And we need to be thankful for what God has delegated to us, what he has determined that we have. And, perhaps there's an area we would feel, boy, I wish I had some more dollar signs there in my checkbook, and things would come up there. Perhaps the Lord would supply in a way that you don't know. We have the Lord, and he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Honor the owner of all property. Respect the property God gave to others, and respect the property God has given to you. Thou shalt not steal. We show our gratitude to God and our love for neighbor by our respect of property. And that means we need to ask God for his help to be the stewards that he would have us to be with the property that he has given to each one of us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to be thankful, to be content with what you've given to us. Help us not to be unbelieving and think that we need to steal in some way, to take something that doesn't belong to us. Help us to see that you are a God that provides and that we can trust you. And Lord, we pray that you would guard our hearts, guard our minds, and help us to be the stewards that you would have us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.